But whatever stage that you're in, you got to keep growing. Hit your neighbor and say, keep growing, neighbor. Keep growing. Now hit your second choice and say, you were second choice, but you still count. Hit, was I your second choice, bro? Come on, you're looking at me like you didn't hit anybody. That's okay. Amen. Take the next step. Joshua told the people of the Lord that God was going to do something amazing in their life, but they had to enter in and do something impossible in the natural. So he told them to do something spiritual. And he said, set yourself apart to the Lord, because tomorrow, somebody say tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Mañana. Amen. He'll do something amazing among you. And God is about the next for you today. I'm glad he was in my yesterday, but God has something more for you to do today. Amen. He has great things for everyone to do, amazing things that you don't even know about. So I thank the Lord for that. This was a spiritual battle that the people were faced with, but they had to do something in the natural to face it. And so you're in a battle in the natural, maybe bad news about a report or maybe something going on at your home. But God needs to operate today. You need to turn over the reins, and God can do spirit. Amen. Through your life, and I'm thankful for you today. God, the Bible says that he did wonders among the people. Before they conquered Ai, before they conquered even the walls of Jericho, God had to do something spiritual. And so God is doing something spiritual in the lives of living faith. God hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. God has everything under control today, right, everybody? And so thank God for next part three, giving and growing today. Life is simply a test. And so you have to prepare in this life for the next one to come. You say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, it's still coming, no matter what you believe. Do you understand that today? Wouldn't it be great to be rich in this life? Because I thought about that. I said, man, if I was rich, I would have one of those. I would have lots of land. I would have that media room that's really like a movie theater, but a big media room. I always want to run. I would have like a, not lift bring me to church, but like a helicopter. And we'd have a helicopter pad out here. Just, you know, if I was rich, I think I would, an indoor bowling alley. Elvis always had one. I wanted one, right? And the White House. I always wanted lots of land if I was rich, you know, and I would have that pimped out, you know, golf cart thing, souped up golf cart. Yeah, I would want that, you know, and the thing that could bounce up and down, you know. I would want a golf cart like that. But, you know, do you know anybody that's rich like that? Anybody? Do y'all know anybody? One person kind of waves at me, goes like that, maybe. All right, ushers, let's pick up the offering right now, right? How many of you are filthy rich? No one, right? Yeah. Because we can't pick up the offering now, right? Nobody knows. Everybody's embarrassed about being rich. Even those movie stars, are you rich and what do you got? They really, you know, they try to act real humble when they're getting interviewed by Inside or Entertainment Tonight or whatever they might be. But, you know, I found some stats that are incredible. A family income, if your family income as you did taxes this year is $10,000 a year, you know you're wealthier than 84% of the world. $10,000 is like that part-time kid, you know, doing something on the side and going to school. That's $10,000 a year, if not more. So you're 80, if you're making that or more, you're 84% richer. See, God's not in just to America. How many know God's into China? God's into Mexico. He's into third world countries, right? Are y'all hearing me today? So he's into the world. He's not just an American God. He's a God for the Chinese people. He's a God for the African people. Right, everybody? Listen to this, which is maybe many of us in this room. If you made $50,000 or more this year, then you're richer than 99% of the world. You're in the one percenters. $50,000. That's most of us in this room. That's a lot of us in this room that you're approaching that. You're a one percenter. You're making 90. There's 99% people that are saying, man, I wish I was that rich. You're so rich right now. I said, I'm not rich. Well, you know what you do? You get in your climatized car. You can get warm. Even if you're riding the bus, it's still warm on the bus. It's still cool on the bus in the summertime. You get into a home and you got internet everywhere and you got it on your device. You can order a pizza and it can be there by the time you get home for the delivery guy. Who's not rich in this room? You have a device in this room that can rule the world literally, and it's called a cell phone. And you know how many third world people would want something like that? And they don't have it, and you got it, and you're blessed. You say, well, I don't feel rich. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul wrote about when he started talking to people about, well, you're rich, but you don't know how to be rich right. And there's a difference. We know how to be rich wrong, but we want to be rich right, everybody. Right, everybody? 3 billion people would describe us this way, especially in America. They would say this, 3 billion people, probably in Mexico, as close as that, Africa. They said, let me tell you about rich people. Rich people have cars. They got a car. And you know what? Sometimes the really rich people, they got a his and her car. You know what the really rich people do? They got a car not only for them, they got a her car and they got a his car. And those really rich people, they got a garage that they can pull that car in so the weather elements, when it starts really heating up or there's hail, they really get blocked and they pull in their car into another house, which is just for a car. That's how really rich people live. And the really, really rich people live, they got this three-car garage that they have so much junk that they got to put it in that third garage because they got so much stuff that they can't. And the really rich people, they got a two-story closet. They got stuff that they hang up this way, and they got stuff that they hang lower. That's how rich they are. And they got that walk-in closet. We could put a mattress in there, and it's bigger than our room that we live in our third world country. But yet it's just their walk-in closet. Yeah. And they, you know what else rich people do? They would say, the 3 billion of them that are on the face of the earth, they would say they drive by like 15 buildings, and those 15 buildings are called restaurants. And they get to the 16th building, and they finally eat there because they passed the 15 that they didn't want. And they eat there, and they get this little dipping bread, this little oil thing, and they put this little the Italian seasoning on it, and they dip their little bread in that dipping thing, and they get that even before the meal, and they eat that. And then they order these three meals. One's an appetizer, and that's a meal, but then they order the main course. That's how really rich people. And to top it off, they have this chocolate cake at the end called dessert. That's how really rich people live, yeah. Who's not rich in this room? You need to look at your neighbor and say, we're very rich. You may say, well, I don't feel rich. But you are rich today according to the world and according to what Jesus would say, according to what the stats say. That rich is the other guy. And it's probably currently more than we have. I wish I had more, and that's what's all about. That we're just not very good at being rich today. The Bible has words that are real important, like believe and love. How many recognize love is probably pretty big in the Bible? Heaven and hell probably pretty big in the Bible, right? In the Bible, believe is said about 270 times. Prayer, that's real important, right? Shouldn't that be said a lot? Yeah, it's said a lot. It's said 371 times, according to what translation you're reading. Love, I would think that was up there, and it is 714 times. Do you know how much giving is mentioned? Giving is mentioned more than heaven and hell. Giving is mentioned over 2,000 times in the Bible. And so I think God would want us to notice something like that if he mentioned it that much. Right, everybody? Oh, come on, preacher. You're going to talk about giving? No, I'm going to talk about how generous God is to us. Right, everybody? You say, well, I don't have a huge bank account. And that's what he told the people that Timothy was pastoring in Ephesus. Just for today, and he pulls this screen just for you, 1 Timothy 6:17, on the big screen. You can look at it in your devices because you're so poor today. You got an internet unlimited data plan that you can punch that up and look at that. 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, command those that are rich. I don't have a huge bank account. You know what rich is? It's having more than you need. I have this big closet, and we approach it, and we say, man, I got nothing to wear today. And clothes, right, everybody? Yeah. You know, if you have Jesus, you have more than you need. That's why Jesus needs to be given away. You're rich, even if you have Jesus in this room. You're rich in this present world, not to be arrogant. Boy, it's quiet right now in this Episcopalian church. We got Episcopalian money. Come on, everybody. Present in this world, not to be arrogant, to put their hope in what? Which is so uncertain. Yeah, it is really uncertain. Here tomorrow, here today, gone tomorrow. But put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our what? In other words, I don't have to feel guilty with what God has blessed me with. And neither should you. But we need to be responsible. Can I hear even a better amen? Yeah, be very responsible. Command them to do good and to be rich in and to be generous and to be what? This is how you're to be rich. And what if you're rich, you're to be in, rich in good deeds, to be generous, and to be willing to share. Come on, share. Come on, do you share, bro? I sure do. Do you share? Yeah, sis, I share. Share. Look at what it continues to say. In this way, if you do those three things, you will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm what? Foundation for there's something else coming besides this earth. Yeah. And the rich that know how to be rich, they relocate the riches and put them in the right way. I'm so glad you're at Living Faith Church. You say, man, why'd you have to come? I came on this day. You came on the right day because you're going to see how God works through this church. Right, everybody? And how God works. 99% of Americans believe in the afterlife. And so we should live like it. So I prepare by the way I live, by the way I give, by the way I serve today. And so I may take a hold of the life that is truly life. Right, everybody? Yeah. James spoke about that life is a mist, that it's gone. One day I was 20, now I'm 50. One day I was 60, now I'm 80. And time accelerates that quickly, and you realize how life is a vapor today. The more that you discover what life is really about, that life isn't about this life, that you'll discover joy and what it is to be joyful in life on how you live today. Amen? We're a church that leaves the four walls, and we're distinct by that. We do outreach. It's our gift. And I want to bring it full center back on why we do outreach, because church was never meant to be us in these four walls. Church was meant to be when we leave here. This is just a halftime rallying cry. Come on, you're down 20 points, and we sure need a miracle. Amen? And so Coach Pop is cheering us on right now. Come on, team, you can pull this together. We can win one. Give me a good amen. Pray for us, right, everybody? And so that's why we do Be the Church. I get pastors that call me and say, hey, we hear your church is real outreach-minded, that they do outreach and they're real evangelistic-minded. I hope that never goes away. I hope I can't tell them, hey, it ain't us anymore, baby. We've gotten sophisticated. It ain't us anymore. We got involved in too many other things. We need to keep the main thing still, right? And so I'm asking you to shoulder up with me and walk with me and help me. You may not say, well, I can't do anything in this season. Everyone can do something. Yes. Amen. You just got to find it. God has blessed me with more than I need. And so I will share it and I will make an eternal difference. And so can you today. Amen. Amen. When I give, it makes me more like Jesus. When I give, I become generous. When I give, I become gracious. I never look more like God. And you don't either. You look more like God when you're a giver today. Right, everybody? Thank God for it. There's this funny story about a man that he was rich and he wanted to take everything with him. And he worked real hard to become rich. And so he prays real hard. He said, Lord, I want to take it with me, Lord. Please, please, please help me to take it with me. And I guess he interceded so hard that an angel came, poof, and he said, Lord has heard your plea. You can take one suitcase, whatever you can pack in that suitcase. And so the man, he's just all happy. He puts gold bars in that head, makes it heavy, and he puts it right by his bedside. And sure enough, the day comes, that man passes away. And he wakes up in heaven with the suitcase. And as he approaches the pearly gates, St. Peter says, whoa, hold up. We don't allow anything from earth on inside heaven. Just you come in. He said, no, I got special clearance. So St. Peter checks out the, oh yeah, he did, come on in. He said, but before you come in, I got to check it out. So he opens it up, and Peter looks at the gold bars, and he looks at it, and he goes, he said, hey man, you brought pavement. You'll get that at 3 a.m. It's amazing what we strive for and what we think is so valuable here on this earth. And God is saying that's just the stuff we walk on in heaven. And what really counts are people, lives, influence, legacy, faith on this earth, and what you do with it today and how you live today. History has proven that Christians in this church is exemplary of that. They exemplify that, how generous people have been through the ages of Christianity. They've established hospitals in the name of Jesus. The Baptists thought it was so great that people could be healed. They established Baptist Hospital downtown, and they named it after themselves. The Methodists thought of healing, and they thought it was so great that we need to heal people. We'll make a hospital so people can get healed, and they put big money into establishing. You understand that today? How universities have come about that have been established by God's people because generosity was from their heart. And they understood, history has proven that they understood that they can't hoard it, greed, that they have to give it away, and it's waiting for them in heaven if they live right. Right, everybody? Command those that are rich to be in this present world, that there's more to life than this life, everybody. The worst thing that you can do right now as I speak to you, say, I wish they would have been here. I wish they weren't in the hallway. I wish they would have walked in and heard me. No, you're here. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Because there's nothing freer than saying, Lord, you're speaking to me and I'm walking with you today. Right, everybody? So what's my giving strategy? If I'm going to do this right, and there's going to be an afterlife, which there is, I'm going to give you not some suggestions, I'm going to give you principles, but there are suggestions. This is what you can do, and you can get free on these things today. Amen. I will intentionally share my what? Say it louder. Come on. There you go. I will intentionally share my resources. And so that's your money, that's your car, your cars. You have a his and her. You even have one for the student now. Yeah, they're driving. Amen. You have a house. You have stuff in it. But you share it for eternal purposes. So when you're grilling that leg quarter, maybe you got five of them out there. I'm going to save one. No, maybe that neighbor's looking over the fence. What you cooking? And you're a blessing. And you love your neighbor as the Bible commands you to love. Amen. And you share it with a neighbor. You share a leg quarter. You're meant to share your resources. You know, at Living Faith Church, I'm never going to show you this slick video about to get you emotionally amped up so you'll give. I'm not going to do that. Maybe I did that during the early years, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to show you this dog that's chained and, you know, God bless the dogs, man, that need to be adopted. I'm for that. I love dogs. Amen. Notice they don't show any cat videos like that, but they show the dogs. I'm not going to show you anything to try to appeal to your emotions. But we are going to ask you to be intentional on your resources because that's the kingdom way. I need to repent on something, and I'm glad everybody's here that needs to hear this so you don't hear. When this building first got open, we have a couple of church council people here. We were meeting month after month, like week after week. It was like a red dot. Wah, wah. Are we going to stay open the first year? We've been open about in this facility for what, 2.5 years now? You guys know the math better than I do. And so we would look at the report. Hey, there's not enough to pay the mortgage. There's not enough maybe to pay the electrical. And so we met, we prayed. The church council was awesome. But I would come to you during that time, and I repent of that right now publicly. And I would say, you guys are going on vacation, and so is your tithe. And we may not be open when you get back from vacation. I hope you know that. And I would mean it because it looked on paper like, am I lying, guys? That we weren't going to be open. And it was like an emergency situation. I go, man, these people, man, do they know that we're going to close down as a church? And it was that sort of, and I would come to you and go, give. Hey, we need it. And I would like, you know, and I look back and I'm so ashamed that I did that. Because look, 2.5 years later, we're still here, and you're still going on vacation. Give me a good amen. And God's still doing this thing, with or without you. Amen. And I thank God for every son and daughter that had faith, especially around the church council table, and just said, we're going to make it. We're going to get through this today. Amen. May I never go back in the next building that we do or the next thing that we do, because this thing's going to get paid off in the name of Jesus. I believe in the God of the impossible. And I can smile at the future and say, God is our hope. Amen. We'll be debt free. Give me a good amen. Yes. Amen. He must be crazy. Yeah. Crazy faith. Amen. It does it. Right, everybody? This is what the Bible says about your resources in 1 Corinthians. Not on your handout, but on the big screen. 1 Corinthians 16, 2 on the screen. On the first day of the week, which, by the way, is Sunday, not Monday when you go to work. This is the first day of the week, according to the calendar. Right, everybody? Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. In other words, not all of us are going to give the same, but we should all give equally sacrificially. We're not going to give the same amount of money. Well, they give that amount, I give this amount, but you should all bring the same amount. Can you show me that next slide, Daisy? Or is it stuck there? 1 Corinthians? It's not in there. I thought I put it in there. It wasn't in there for the first service. My fault. Let me read it to you then. On the first day of the week, you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Equal sacrifice. That means you have it ready. So I don't have to show you the poor dog video. Our appeal to your emotions are trying to get you to get. So I don't have to say, you better give money or we're not going to be open next Sunday. They're going to lock up the build. The mortgage company is taking back their building. I don't have to do that if we live according to the Word of God. Let me continue. Saving up. So when you come, no collections will have to be made. And you don't know that because I had to say it to you, right? And so we shouldn't even have to worry because you've already come. And you already are generous givers. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so one of the things I need to advise you about your resources is this. Become a percentage giver. And that means, well, that means the tithe. It could. See, the tithe was the Old Testament law. And all it is for the New Testament people that are in this room is a marker about the minimum. We began at the tithe, but we don't need to stay there. The law was fulfilled with Jesus. And so the tenth, we bring it back, but we do more now. Give me a good amen. Because we're generous today. And so thank God for generosity, but it's just a starting point. I want you to give and be intentional in your resources by doing Be the Church. The reason why we have a surplus to do the outreach on Wednesday night is because you've given. And we're giving it away. You gave that money, so we gave it. We're going to give it away. We're giving your money away. Yeah, isn't that good? We might as well, right? People need it, right, everybody? And we give it to the right targets, and we do it right intentionally in the right way. Give towards the clothing closet, because you know why? We're believing God for a building or a storefront building that Linda Ziegler does and operates. It's so much work to set that thing up, and they do it. Two ladies usually do it, along with some help that comes sporadically through the day. But it's an 8-hour day to set up a store, and it's a five-hour day because we put it back quicker than that. Yeah, and we need a building so desperately to serve our community, and we're almost there. Continue to sow into that. We thank God for it. Also, finally, use invite cards. And they're right in the foyer on this side. And the invite cards are just something that you can invite people to. When you go to the restaurant, you do an act of kindness. And so when you're doing the meal today at that restaurant, and your bill's like, you know, $40, $30, $50, $100. If you have a family of five, $100, leave a honking big tip. And if you just leave this card without a tip, don't even leave this card. There's that cheap church, amen? They don't give anything. No, we want to be a blesser, amen? Leave something generous, extravagant on the table and leave the card. They would say, man, I got to go to that church, right? How about if that pizza guy came into the house one day and we gave him a $100 tip? Give me a good amen? Amen. That's the sort of church we should have, amen? How I plan to share my resources and what I plan to do leads me to the second thought. I will intentionally share my what? Time, amen. And so thank God for time. Invest wisely because you get one life on this earth, so you have to serve people today. I noticed this precious family at 9 a.m. or right when I was getting here a few weeks ago. And I noticed mom and dad pulling up to the student center because they teach. And then I noticed the young daughter. She was walking up the sidewalk. And I noticed son, I think he was eating a taco but getting ready in the car, but the whole family was already here serving the Lord. Shouldn't it be that way? The whole family should serve the Lord. And it just blessed me to see the servants of the Lord. That's why we have this mantra, which I know I put it in there in the name of Jesus. Work, work, work. It's called worship one and serve one. Poof, there it goes. There it is. When I do my hand like that, it moves, right? That's the one that says, put me in, coach. Come on, put me in. And today I made a difference because you look at the difference that you made. And right now we have our workers that are taking care of our babies. And they're getting so blessed, those babies, because my wife is holding a baby right now. She worshiped one and served one. And she's holding a baby. And she's saying right now there's a mama that's enjoying the service because I'm blessing that. Sonia Varial's in there too because she worshiped one and served one. As an elder's wife, she's in there. What's up with that? Our elders are working too, right? And she said, a mama can enjoy the service because I worshiped one. Now I can let somebody else come today. The carpets are clean. The floors are clean because one of our special people just came and they cleaned the whole building that you might be blessed as you walk in. Nobody wants a filthy church, right, everybody? It takes about 30 people just to do this thing on Sunday morning that are behind the scenes that you never see arrive on the platform. That's an amazing thing that work happens and you worship one and serve one. In the children's ministry in our other building right now, Edna Molina was in here and she was worshiping one, but right now she's serving toddlers. Amen. To God be the glory, right, everybody? Oh, we got good servants. We have a blessed people in this room today. Amen. And you can make that difference today. Did you take that spiritual gift test that I asked you about last week? Yeah, some of you did, and your strengths are there, and you're able to take it. You can still take it. Google spiritual gift test. Don't take the one that costs. Everything should be free. And you'll take about, honestly, it's about 100 questions. And it takes about 15 minutes, but it's well worth it because you see where your strengths are at. I don't got time for that. You got time for 30 minutes of television. You got time for that. It's eternal, right? You see how you're wired. You see where you're at. By the way, any shout-outs that you discovered your spiritual gift or you know what it is, I told you to do it last week. Did anybody come back baited and say, I know what my spiritual gift is? Come on, help a brother out. Anybody? 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 If you're lying, is any liars out there? Come on. Nobody? Nobody wants to voice out what they did. Your spiritual gift. What is it?
Ministry of Helps.
Ministry of Helps. Amen. That's a good one. Thank you, Mike. Amen. Bless him. Amen. He spoke out. None of the rest of the cowards in this room wanted to speak out. I never asked you to do something that I wouldn't do, so I took 15 minutes, and mine is pastoring. I thought I would get rid of it, but it's there. And the second one's administration. So I'm coming at you, those administrators, amen, you better be doing your job, amen. I'm number two. And Sherry Fuller said, I wish you'd do more work, amen. No, she didn't say that today. Do you know you can walk away today? Laura Collier, Sherry Fuller, Sonia Verial, Howard Verial. They have, if you don't have the ability to go on your phone and take the spiritual gift test, we printed it out for you. They lovingly got it ready for you. You can walk away. Howard has a pot. Just go see Howard. Go see Sherry. They'll give you a test that you can walk away, and you can do the test. Bring it back. They'll grade it, and they'll give you the grid, and you'll know that. Amen. To God be the glory. Yeah? Amen. The third one is this one. This number three is this. I will intentionally share Christ. Everybody, is there still a heaven? Amen. But is there still a hell? Yes. So I have to believe that Sundays aren't just for you. We've purposed since the very beginning that this church on Sunday morning would be a church that would bring in the lost, that people would respond and return to God, and they sure did. The worship was incredible today. Amen. God moved, and he continues to move through his word. Right, everybody? People got right with God, and people are getting right now. And so every Sunday, there's a point of redemption at Living Faith Church that people that are far away from God can come closer to Jesus. At the very end, we give everybody an opportunity to come close to God. And how about you going to the next level, that you lead people to Christ? Well, I can't do that. I'm not a preacher. Yes, you can. You can say, you can lead somebody in a sinner's prayer. Everyone can do that in this room today, even if you're born again just one day old. Amen. It's easy to do. And if you don't want to be that pushy, bring them to church. Invite them to sit next to you. Amen. Amen. You can do that today. We're missionaries for Jesus, right, everybody? Why are you being so strong on this right now, Pastor? Why are you saying that? Because Jesus said so. You talk about me not being in your face this morning, which I'm really not. I'm being nice. I'm throwing some jokes in there, trying to smile at you as I look at you. Jesus got in people's faces. Let me show you one scripture. I believe it's in your handout. Matthew 6:19. Are you there? On the big screen, in your handout. Let's read it together on three. Come on, everybody, on three. One, two, three, go. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust and where thieves do not break in. I thank the Lord, and I hope the Caspers are watching this on Facebook because they're in Georgia now. There are people that sowed significantly into this church that are not part of this church. But when I first began the church, Irma and I, we sent out like 100 support letters. We're beginning the work of God. The letter said, it wasn't an email back then, and we would love your support. We're birthing a church. We're going to be in our living room at first, and then our plans are go to an elementary school storefront. We're going to keep the work of God going, and you're establishing the work. Would you help us? And 100 letters got sent out, and one person responded. And those were Les and Karen Casper. They were in Georgia at the time, and they were in Houston at the time. In Houston, they had their own church, but they sowed above and beyond. I'll just give you the amount. They sowed $200 a month to our church. And boy, was that a lifeline in the early years. I thank God for them. Later on, years later, they came and they dedicated their granddaughter, their first granddaughter, to the Lord with us publicly because they wanted to do something. And you know what? They may never see this, what's gone on. They're still alive now. They're in Georgia. But to God be the glory. Do you know how many people in heaven are going to thank the Caspers that have received Christ, that have gotten filled with the Holy Spirit in this church, that have gotten healed? They'll line up for all of eternity, and they'll say, thank you, Les. Thank you, Karen, for what you gave. Thank you for keeping, for birthing that work of God. Of all the things that we've been able to outlet and to do in this church beyond this body and outreach and so forth, it's a direct result of the... See, they didn't know this thing was going to work. They took a risk. And that's what faith does on you sharing Christ today. Jesus told this story, and he spoke about this man that was in a dream state, but with his eyes open. And he said, you know, it wasn't that he shouldn't go after dreams, but he wasn't fulfilled. He wanted more, and he wanted more, and there's nothing wrong with wanting more, but there is a point about greed. Yeah, even a homeless person can be greedy. Did you know that? And so the principles of rich and poor are unequal. We just need to get a hold of what is right in our want and our dream. And so the parable is told. Jesus told the story. He didn't make it up. He told the story. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he told them this parable. Are you there with me? How about this side? Y'all are good over here. I got one amen, but 50 of y'all on this. Okay, good. And the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? Man, I got so much extra. I have no place to store my crops. And then he said to them, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down barns and build bigger ones. And then I'll store up my surplus grain. In other words, man, if it would have ended there, that would have been, man, that guy knows a lot about profit and loss. Boy, does he know a lot. The story doesn't end there, though. He knows how to live. He knows how to make a profit. Look how it ends. And he said to myself, I said, I have plenty of grain laid up for years. Right, everybody? Yeah. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Yeah. But God said to him, you fool. Yeah. In other words, all the extra that I gave you, you wasted it on yourself. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. And then who will get what you prepared? Remember the U-Haul never follows the hearse, right? Jesus made that up. Jesus knew that before they made it into a joke or whatever. This is how it will be. Whomever stores up things for themselves. But look at the end of it. He stores up for himself, but is not what? Sorry about that. We'll get it back. Yeah, it is rich towards God. The man was a fool, not because he was rich. Listen to me. He wasn't a fool because he was rich. He was a fool because he failed to make preparation in the awareness of eternity. And eternity is coming to everyone in this room. And you have to make a preparation. I have values that we have in this church. And I have values that I want you to have in your life if you're part of this church. And so I want you to embrace these three declarations as we finish up today. Because this life is preparation for the next, I will value, somebody say, stewardship over ownership. Just because the screens aren't working, stay with me. It's going to take extra concentration, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Amen. Stewardship over ownership. It's not yours. God owns it. One of the best financial principles I've ever learned is that it's not mine. God owns it. God owns a talent. God owns a time. God owns a treasure. Right, everybody? What is stewardship? It's my response on giving the good news away to someone that desperately needs it, on making a way for somebody with my time, my talent, and resources. And so if I'm to take care of them with my resources, with the stewardship, God's I'm the manager over what God's given me, so I need to take care of God's creation, which is people. That's what I need to take care of, amen? The second principle is this, people over possessions. Somebody say, people over possessions.
People over possessions.
Yeah. So possessions burn, people last. Possessions are sold at the dollar store. Possessions are sold at the garage sale after you saved up so much and you sold them for a dollar. They get you can't fit them anymore. They're sold for a dollar because that's how possessions are. But people last, right, everything? Amen. Somebody say this with me. People are the only thing going to heaven. Even today, with what we receive today at the planters, with what we receive in the envelopes today, we'll give a portion of that away. Yeah. We won't keep it. We give it away. This church tithes away from itself, and then we give above and beyond that into targeted missions like any woman can. Any woman can saw multiple young girls and women that walked into their clinic, and they got counseled. You have a baby within your womb because we just did a free sonogram on you. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to abort it because I don't know the father, or, you know, things like that literally happen every week, and any woman can. And they counsel. Look, this heart is beating. And things change in that counseling room, in that center. They offer them free advice. They offer them, you know what, somebody wants to adopt this precious baby. You see what will happen? It's more than you walking up and putting the envelope in today. It's more than you digitally giving how you give, a text to give. It's literally people. Every time you hit that button and you give, a person right there. And so heaven will be lined up. Listen to me. Heaven will be lined up and they'll go, thank you. You saved my life. Thank you. And Belize is a great church. And we birthed it out of this church because we sent giving and we were extravagant in giving. And the Belize people will come and thank you, Living Faith, because you gave above and beyond your tithe today. In Jamaica, the school that we established there with Jerry and Renee Winkler, they'll come and they'll say, thank you. I was a student in that school that you made open for me. Because it's more than an envelope. It's more than an act of giving. Your giving counts here, and it's eternal. And people do that today. Amen. So it's eternal. Thank God. We love people, and we use money. And some churches use people and love money. God help us never to be that way. Amen. Finally, the eternal over the temporal. The eternal over the temporal. Are y'all there with me? You filled in the last blank. Amen. I set you free. Give me a good amen. Because some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. Yeah, I'll fly away, oh glory, amen. The greatest radical generosity and the illusion sometimes that keeps us from generosity, you think earth is your home, and earth isn't your home. You're going to fly away one day if you're a Christian today. Even Christians believe that today. So with great sadness, the Apostle Paul realized, you know, he had to deal with legalism. You got to do it this way, and you got to pray this way, and you got to read the Bible this way. And Paul had to deal with that. But you know what he had to also deal with? He had to deal with sloppy people that weren't living according to the way, indulgent Christians, and they were living according to the flesh. So with great sorrow, he wrote Philippians 3:18, and he pens it this way. And these were church folk, not people that weren't coming to church to Living Faith. These were people that were part of the body at that time. Listen to what Paul said. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ, right? In other words, they're not willing to shoulder up the cross of self-denial and take their cross. Well, it's a cross is beautiful. No, you're going to the gas chamber. No, you're going to put the electric chair around your neck, and you're not going to put that cross. You're going to have self-denial in your life because you're not going to live according to the world. You're going to live for another world that's coming. And their destiny is what? And their God is their bonsa. I thought, man, why'd you have to put that in there, Paul? You know how much I like to eat wings? How much I love Wingstop? How much I'm driven to that? And there's a broader reference besides the stomach, and that's just the pleasures of the body, your mind, and your soul. And their glory is in their shame, and their mind is on earthly things, but the citizenship is in heaven. But our citizenship is in heaven. and we eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back. He's still coming back for a church. He's coming back for us today. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow our heads and hearts toward you, Lord. We bless you this day. I thank you, Father, for the church called Living Faith. They're a generous people. They bless people around the world, and their gift has done that, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. I speak to the people of the Lord right now, and I thank you that we have stewardship over ownership. We have people over possessions. We have eternal over the temporal. We have wisdom to live now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed today, you need to prepare to meet God. Because one day that's coming. And if that scares you a little bit, that's okay. It can turn into a conviction if you're without Christ today. And conviction's not a bad word. If you're far away from God, if you've never said yes to Jesus, conviction is very good because it draws you close to Jesus. It saves you. And today, I won't embarrass anybody, but I'm going to ask that your hand is lifted slightly and say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Remember me in the prayer. I'll lead you in a prayer from the platform. You'll pray right where you're at today. And you'll say yes to Jesus. You're far away from God right now. You need a Savior to come and save you. If that's you today, no one looking around but a private moment, say, that's me. Would you lift your hand slightly and say, that's me. Pray. Pray for me. Remember me right now. Making sure 100%. God bless you, sir. You can put your hand down, my brother. Someone else, making sure. Thank you, Father. Yeah, God stopped everything right now just for that one, and thank God for it. Thank God for reckless love, right? That we sang earlier. Thank you, Jesus. And so we lead that one person, not to embarrass them, but they say it out loud. And my brother, I join you in the prayer because I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you. The work's already been done on the cross. We just acknowledge Jesus right now. How many other sinners saved by grace right now do we have in the house? Yeah. Let's pray this prayer out loud together as a people. Heavenly Father. Come on, platform. Heavenly Father. Receive my prayer. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I thank you, Lord. The blood of Jesus washes away all my sins and makes me new again. Thank you, Father. I'm born again. I have a new beginning. In Jesus' name. Amen. To God be the glory. Come on, celebrate new life at Living Faith Church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's a connection card in front of you. Please fill that out if you have a prayer request.